Welcome, and thank you for standing by. I would like to remind all parties that your lines have been placed on listen only until the question and answer portion of today's conference. At that time, if you're wishing to ask a question, please press star followed by one on the keypad of your telephone, and please be sure that your telephone is unmuted and clearly record your name at the prompt so that your question may be introduced. Today's conference is being recorded. If you should have any objection, you may disconnect at this time. It is now my pleasure to introduce your first speaker today, Ms. Tara Rice, with the Office of Adolescent Health. Thank you, ma'am. You may begin.
Good afternoon, or good morning if you're on the West Coast. My name is Tara Rice, and I'm with the Office of Adolescent Health. And I'm joined with joining me later is Matt Benson with RTI International, our contractor for performance measures. This is our first of four webinars on the TPP performance measures reporting system for the new cohort of TPP grantees. This webinar is specifically for our Tier 1A or capacity building grantees in teen pregnancy prevention. I'd like to welcome you to this webinar. Next slide.
Here we go.
Now, today's webinar, just a few logistics. We're doing this by a net conference, both audio and visual. You will be in listen-only mode during the webinar until the end, when we'll be taking questions and answers by the phone. To print slides, you can just use the printer icon on the bottom right of the screen. We will also be taking questions periodically throughout the webinar using the Q&A function that you can find on the top of your screen. So if you have a question that comes up, just type it in, and we'll stop periodically to look at the Q&A box and answer those questions. Please feel free to do that throughout the call. So today we're going to give you an overview of the TPP performance measures. I know that some of you were at the Tier 1 orientation meeting in November and heard our presentation, so this will be a review for you, but some of you may not have been, in which case we will definitely be going over what the measures are. We'll be talking about the timeline for the data collection. Matt will be giving a demonstration of the online reporting system, and we'll also be talking about how you can use the grantee spreadsheet to track the information that's needed for upload into the system. Next slide.
Yep. Delay.
So just a quick reminder of what performance measures are. Performance measures will accurately reflect the progress and accomplishments of the Teen Pregnancy Prevention Grant Program, as well as the accomplishments of individual TPP grantees. We collect performance measures for a variety of reasons, including accountability and reporting to stakeholders such as Congress and HHS leadership. We also collect them for program management and quality improvement. In terms of who sees them, OAH sees all of the measures. In particular, your project officers will see all of the measures for your individual level grant project. Congress will see some of the measures in aggregate form from all grantees. So when these measures are reported up to our stakeholders, they are always reported up as an aggregate level, so individual grantees are not identified. And generally speaking, we collect these measures twice a year. There is an exception to that. The cost measures are only going to be reported annually, so once a year. And we'll be going into more detail about the timeline in future slides. Okay, so the measures are collected and reported at different levels. So you'll see this throughout. We talk about two different levels. We talk about the grantee level of organizations, and that's you, the actual grantee who's receiving the TPP Tier 1A grant. And the things that get collected at the grantee level are the partners' data, the training, dissemination, and there are cost measures that are collected at the grantee level. Then there's another level of category of collector, and that is the implementing organization. Now, for a Tier 1A grantee, the implementing organization would be those organizations that you are giving capacity building assistance to. In other words, those are the organizations that are actually implementing the evidence-based TPP programs. So at that level, We'll be collecting data about reach, which is, you know, who's actually getting the program. That's overall numbers as well as demographic characteristics. We'll be collecting dosage, which is attendance data. We'll be collecting, we'll be asking you to report observed fidelity, observed quality, healthcare linkages, and there are some cost measures at the implementing organization level as well. So just a quick review of the definitions, and you can find these definitions on the TPP performance measure system under the resources tab. The partners are the organizations that are working with grantees but are not part of the grantee organization. And you can have formal partners, and those are any partners you have a written agreement with, such as an MOU or a contract. Or you could have informal partners that support your program through networking or other activities, but you don't have a formal written agreement with them. So we'll be asking you to track the number of partners that are involved in implementing the program during each reporting period. And at the end of the year, we'll be asking you how many partners remained engaged throughout the year. It's also training questions, and so this is a measure of how many of training activities for facilitators or implementers of the programs. So we look at new facilitators that are trained, and we also ask you to report on trainings given to ongoing or supplemental trainings for facilitators during the reporting period. So primarily this would be training on the evidence-based program, but it also can include any other type of professional development activity that improves the facilitator's delivery of the given program. Dissemination is also a measure that you'll be reporting at the grantee level, and it measures the number of manuscripts or presentations that were published or presented during the reporting period. Okay, so there are formal manuscripts. There are also less formal things such as brochures, press releases, radio, TV ads, newspaper articles, et cetera. And we always ask about the number of times each approach was used to communicate information about the program with that question. We'd also ask you to report on the number of times information about the program was presented at conferences, national conferences, statewide conferences, or local meetings. And to determine whether something's national or state level, it would really be based on the scope of who's actually attending. So a national event would be something like a national meeting like the American Public Health Association. Okay, so we're also going to talk about costs. So for those of you who are grantees in the first cohort, costs are a new measure this time. So grantee costs are going to get at things like charges that are incurred for personnel, office spaces, and facilities. Okay, and so personnel costs are part of this, and there's also proportions of personnel costs that are used to support different categories such as general administration, recruitment or retention of participants, training, service provision, fidelity monitoring, and evaluation. And you will also find on the Resource Center, on the tab under the resources, a lot of information about how to define these terms. We also ask questions about financial diversification, which looks at funding outside of the actual TPP grant to assist with ongoing and future program activities. This could be about fundraising, other grants, internal funding from your organization, internal agency funding, as well as in-kind contributions. Okay. Now we get to the section data. The section data is data that is actually being collected about your program. So in your instance, this is data that your implementing organizations are going to be collecting for each group of young people that are served with the given evidence-based program. So when we say section, and you'll see this defined throughout, a section is a group of individuals who complete a given evidence-based program at the same time. For example, if it's a class of fourth graders who are in a health education class and are receiving an evidence-based program, that fourth grade class would be a section. Total reach is the number of individuals in the section who attended at least one activity. So those are the numbers. And then along with reach, we're also going to ask you to determine characteristics. So the setting, whether you're talking about classroom, community settings, or others, and we have a whole list of those, which you'll see in a minute, and is also posted on the resources tab on the TPP database, gender, race or ethnicity, age, and grade. Another thing that your section, that each section should have, is an attendance record. And from the attendance record, you'll be reporting to us dosage for each section. Dosage provides an indication of how much of the program a participant received. So from your attendance logs, we'll be getting average participant attendance for each section, and we'll also be getting a percentage of those participants who received at least 75% or more of the program. We also collect fidelity and quality. So I'm going to refer you back for those of you who were at the OAH Tier 1 orientation meeting to the resources on fidelity and quality. And one of the expectations, of course, is that OAH says that, you know, each grantee is going to develop a fidelity monitoring plan and observe a certain percentage of all programs. For Tier 1A grantees, your expectation is that you would be observing 10% of all sessions. So fidelity is really about how well the program as implemented adheres to the evidence-based program. So you'll hear us talk about adherence to the number of planned sessions, and that's really a percentage. So for every session, for every section that you serve, there are a given number of sessions, and each session is going to be an individual meeting. So, you know, let's take that fourth grade classroom again. You know, if the fourth grade class gets your evidence-based program once a week, then each meeting where they get that evidence-based program is a session. Okay, and so we talk about sessions, and we'll talk about activities within sessions. And so, you know, based on your program, a given meeting might have, you know, four or five activities for that day. You might do a role play, you might watch a video, and you might play a game, and you might do another role play. So those would be four activities. Okay, so you have a number of activities that are planned for that day. That would be the planned activities that you would, you know in advance, and then you would track how many of those planned activities were actually completed. Okay, and then you would, that would be your adherence. Adherence is simply the number of completed activities over the number of planned activities, and it's a percentage. So you would be reporting to us observation adherence, which is the adherence that is noted by your observers, and it would be averaged across the various sessions. And so we'll show you what this actually looks like in a minute on the database and show you how to do this in the spreadsheet. Observed quality of implementation across the sessions will also be reported. Okay, and so this is related to the quality form, the observation quality form, which is also in your Tier 1 binder and on the web page. And that is the form where you're looking at eight different aspects of quality of how something is actually implemented. And there's a scale of 1 to 5 for each of those questions, and then you get an overall quality. So that's where the quality comes in, from the quality from the observation quality form. We're also asking you to report to us on healthcare linkages. Healthcare linkages would be the number of referrals that are made by the program staff, or it could also be, in all likelihood, your implementing partner staff for reproductive healthcare services, mental healthcare services, primary health care, educational services, vocational education, intimate partner violence, and healthy relationships training. And implementing organization costs, these are going to be more about actually cost related to actually implementing the evidence-based program and monitoring its implementation. So here, this includes things such as how much is how much an implementing organization pays to a program developer or distributor for materials. It also includes materials and supports services covered, such as curriculum materials, licensing fees, training or technical assistance on the program itself, or other types of training, professional development on implementing the program, fidelity monitoring or any other quality improvement services, and evaluation activities. And again, please refer to the resources tab on the TPP database, where we have a user's manual that goes into more detail about how to define these terms. Other direct costs to support program implementation, this would be the total amount paid during the year for each of the following. Other program materials and supplies, so that's materials and supplies that are not part of the formal curriculum package. Training or technical assistance, that comes from an outside provider other than the actual publisher or developer of the evidence-based program. Training, technical assistance, or professional development on program implementation from an outside provider. Monetary incentives for program enrollment or participation. Non-monetary incentives for program enrollment or participation. Program supports, such as meals or transportation for participants. Program recruitment materials, so that could be posters or brochures or other things that recruit your program participants, and then media campaigns. Next slide, please. Okay. So, a few logistics. All right. OAH is contracted with RTI International to develop and maintain a performance measure system for TPP and to provide technical assistance for the performance measure system. Target date for the website readiness for data entry is Monday, January 18th. A few expectations. Again, these are things that we've talked about before. We expect that each grantee is going to designate staff to collect and report data to OAH for performance measures. We expect that each grantee is going to develop a plan for ensuring data are collected and reported to us via the system on time. We expect that if there is a need for any proxy measures, which probably would not be needed for a Tier 1 grantee, that you would run those by OAH and get OAH approval for those in advance of collecting them. We expect that you would collect and report data beginning with the program pilot, and that you would use the data to monitor program implementation and provide feedback to facilitators. Okay. So here are the key terms, and I've referenced these before on previous slides. The grantee organizations are those organizations that are awarded the grant from OAH. The implementing organizations are your subawardees or partners that are implementing the program models. The sections are the actual groups of individuals who receive the program together at one time, and the reporting period is the six-month period for which you would report the various measures. So some data must be exclusively reported by the grantee. So again, that would be things like the partners data, the training data, the dissemination data. Other data, such as the section level data, can be reported by your implementing organizations. Attendance data at the individual data at the individual level must be maintained, but you'll be reporting attendance at the aggregate level by section. Okay, and here are the reporting periods. So the first reporting period goes from July 1st through December 31st. and the data will be due 1 month after the end of the reporting period. Now, this year, January 31st falls over the weekend, so we're telling you February 1st, which is a Monday, is when the data is actually going to be due if you've implemented anything during this first period. And most of you are still, believe, in the process of selecting your subs. So during reporting period one, the main thing that you might be reporting would be something like your partner's data and any trainings that you might have provided. The second reporting period starts January 1st and runs through June 30th. And so the data would be due 1 month after the end of that period, or July 31st. And this would pretty much hold true every year. Okay, so before we move on to the website review, I just want to stop and see what, if any, questions we have in the box right now. Okay. All right, so one person asked about printing the slides. There should be a print icon on the bottom right corner of your screen. Maybe you found it by now, and that's how you can print. On my computer, it says print the PDF, but that's how you can print the slides. Okay. Another question that says, does the number of times for communication of information equal unique dates? I'm going to assume that that's referring to the question about dissemination and dissemination activities being unique dates. So like when I talked about brochures being unique dates, I'm not sure what the question is, but I would say that, you know, if you are talking about brochures or other pieces of information, it should be an actual unique piece of information. So if you printed up 1,000 copies of one brochure, that one brochure, regardless of how many copies of it you distributed or what dates you distributed, should just count once as that one brochure. Now, if you created 5 different brochures, one of them might have been around recruitment of youth, and a different one might have been around talking to the parents of the youth, then that would be 2 different brochures. So we're looking for unique activities. Okay, and another question about not seeing the print icon. Like I said, on my computer, it shows up on the bottom right of the screen, all the way at the bottom on the gray line. So I'm not sure why it's not showing up on yours, but do look on the bottom right side for that print icon. If you can't find it, we will be posting these slides after the webinar, so you can certainly get a copy of the information there at that time. Some of this information is also on the resource tab of the PPP Performance Measures Database, so you can also take a look there after the webinar as well. So I apologize if you're not seeing the print icon, and that's a question from Tom. Okay, and then I see a question from Andy. If we, as the grantee, are providing the training and TA to implementing organizations, how do we account for the cost questions about training and TA? Okay, so if you, as the grantee, are providing the training and TA to the organizations, then the costs are going to be about the cost that you incur in providing the training to your subawardees. Okay. I have a question from Joy. For attendance, does average participant attendance mean the number of lessons attended or the mean percentage of lessons attended? So what we're going to do is I'm going to hold that question for a minute, because I think that when Matt starts talking about the participant spreadsheet, this will be clearer. but basically you're going to be reporting attendance, average attendance, as a percentage of the lessons that are attended. And so that percentage will be based on the number of lessons that each participant attends. So we're going to show you a little later how to do this, and if you still have that question, we'll come back to it after Matt shows you the spreadsheet. Okay, Jennifer's question is, can you repeat what is supposed to happen on January 18th? On January 18th, the system will be completely open for data entry. Okay. I don't see any new questions at this time, so I'm going to turn the call over to Matt for the website review.
Great. Hi, everyone. Let me get to where you can see the website. So folks should be able to see it now. And Tara, you can see it? Just making sure we're good.
Yes, I can see it.
Fantastic. Okay, so here's the home page, and there are several tabs. Tara spoke about the resources tab several times, so just starting by just having a quick look at that. And it'll open for us momentarily. While we're waiting for that to open, I can show you a couple other things. So on the home page, you can see to the left there are some general information. Here we are on the resources page. So here, Tara went over the grantee performance measures. They can also be accessed by clicking here. It basically shows everything that we're going to ask you to report on. So it just basically has the questions. This is one about what programs you'll implement, settings, urbanicities, partners questions, training dissemination, and costs. A note for this first reporting period, we're not asking you to report costs to the website. So again, it just goes through the various things that you'll see on the website that you need to report. So that's one valuable resource. And then as Tara said also, we've got some definitions for you. So we have some general performance measures definitions here. So hold on a second. So you can just look here if you're not sure what a particular term means. That should be helpful to you. And then we also get into the specifics of what some specific cost measures means, and also a cost measures user guide. In the webinars we gave over the last couple months, that there were several questions that have come up, many questions about costs, and we're hoping providing you the definitions and the user guide will be of assistance to you as you determine what they mean. Tara also mentioned the observation form. So we take a quick look at that. And so here it deals with quality measures for observations. And basically it just provides you some guidelines for the different measures about some guidelines as to how to apply a particular score to the observation and the rating system. Okay. All right, and the grantee spreadsheet, we're going to get to that a little bit later. So let's return to our home page here. There we are. And so something else on this page is that from time to time, you might need some assistance from us here at the help desk. And if you do, just hover over here, contact us here, click, you'll populate the email address to us, put the subject, you know, describe what you're looking for, and then please put your the grantee name, and even the grantee number would be great. Shoot that off to us, and it gets into our help desk So that's that. Okay. Now, the measures, the information that you provide at the grantee level, you get to by clicking on the grantee tab. And here there's several different tabs you'll end up scrolling through to provide information, and we'll go over them. And what I've done is I created, so we're working in the, you can see in the web address, the dev site. So this is not the live production site. So just for purposes of testing and showing you things, I just created a user ID and just said I was from this grantee organization. You'll always see down here parenthetically for the grantee organization, self as IO, which means implementing organization. That's fine. Everyone sees it. Some things overall on this page and on some other pages, you can see that there is a italicized I, and the point there is just to provide you some information that might be helpful for you as you go to make selections. Also, on every page, you'll see this purple save button. And before you leave any page, it's just, you know, please go ahead and hit the save button. Make sure all your changes get saved. So please do that. Some specifics about this actual page, so the grantee information page. We know what grantee organizations are aligned with which project officers. That'll be populated. We ask you to provide a primary contact, information on a primary person to contact at the, your grantee organization. So this would be the person that we would reach out to if we had any questions about the data that was being provided. So please choose that. I just populated that in there. You'll see these red asterisks. I'm sure you know what those mean. That's just information that's required. As far as states served, so whichever particular state, or if there's more than one state that your organization will be implementing the programs in, you just make those choices. They're easy to make and unmake. Just choose the ones. I'll just choose Alabama and Arkansas for now. There's, you just scroll down for these and you see the full listing. Same thing for setting serves. There's a list there, and you make choices. So I just went ahead and made these two choices here. Urbanicities. You also go ahead and just make the appropriate choices, so I'll stick with those. At any point in time, you can just go ahead and click the save button, get the nice message, your changes have been saved. A note for those of you on the call that were with us for the past few years, you're probably already seeing a substantial difference from the original website, and indeed, that's the case. You'll see that more as we go along, and we hope you'll like the changes. Okay, so I had gone ahead and said that my organization was going to be implementing these two program models. So let's just say your organization was implementing another program model. So you'd go over, you choose Add Program, and you would click here, and you'd see the full list of programs. Go ahead and make the choice. Let's say you made a mistake. Just go ahead and click the X, and then that removes it. But let's say that was right. Put it back in. Ideal number of sessions. So you've decided, I'm sure, for implementing your particular program, how many sessions it'll take in an ideal world. So let's just say you had decided that was 10. Go ahead and plug that in. Now, the choices you have made about what states you'll be working in overall as a grantee organization are seen here, the choices for settings, the choice of urbanicities, and now you just have to indicate for this particular program, what are the right choices? So let's say for making a difference, we are implementing in both Alabama and Arkansas. Let's just say we are all of these applied. We're doing all of these things. Urban and rural. Go ahead and hit save. There you go, and you see that the program was added there. Let's say you said, oh, geez, I made a mistake. Here's the icon for editing. So you just go ahead and click on that icon. It opens back up what you had, and let's say you had meant that the ideal number of sessions was 8. Just do that. Go ahead and hit save, and that saves the change. And then, as I said, a great idea is just go ahead and hit save before you leave every particular page. Okay, so that's basic information about you, and now for your implementing organizations. So now you provide information about your implementing organizations. So here I did some pre-populating. My organization name in testing, as I revealed earlier, was Choctaw, and I had indicated that this was one of my implementing organizations. Let's go ahead and just add another one here. Let's just say this was the name. Just put in that email. Just putting in anything there. Contact phone. Okay, you can see the active status for the organization is set to yes initially. Should later on that change, you could choose no, but the default is yes. Okay, you can see the list of programs. You had said you would be implementing these programs as a grantee organization. So now you indicate for this particular implementer which of the three they're implementing. So let's go ahead and just say implementing those two. What state's implementing in, let's say those two, let's say both settings, let's just say everything for this particular implementing organization. Go ahead and hit save, changes saved, and now we have the organization there. Same thing, this is the icon. If anything was not right, you just go back in and edit that. Something else here, so view access accounts. Let's take a look at that. So here's something about our approach to access to the website. Members of the grantee organization, they request access directly through the website, as many of you have already done. For members of your implementing organizations, we request that you request access for them yourselves. They wouldn't request it through the website. You would request access through this mechanism where you click on Create Access Account. Put in the name, put in the email. Something like that. Okay. Let's just make this so it's definitely not going to go anywhere. Okay, you hit save, and you can see that the person's now added as someone you've requested access for. You've got the same functionality, or you could make the person not active, which will make them no longer have access to the website. And here's what happens when you actually do what I just did. You can see that the system generated a username for the person, and the system will go ahead and send an email out to this address, welcoming them and providing information so that they can access the website. So that's how you go ahead and you create access accounts through this. All right, next we have partners. So not going to go through and read about all of this. You'll have plenty of time to do this, and we've got the resources I pointed out. The point is that you simply just enter the numbers and then you hit save. Now, you'll notice up here for the first time we see reporting period drop-down. It happens to be populated with reporting period 2 because that's the period we're in right now. It started on January 1st. But for those of you who will be doing reporting for this period, you'll want to change that to reporting period 1. It does that for you, and I've got it populated as well. But let's see what happens here. Let's say you, for instance, forgot to provide information there. You go to hit save, and it shows you another feature. Is that where you don't provide information that you should, and you hit save, you're going to get prompted to do that. And of course, it's easy to correct. Just go ahead and just put whatever number in there is appropriate. Go ahead and hit save, and you're good there. All right, moving on to training, similar. Just plug in the appropriate number, hit save. And dissemination. So on the dissemination page, we've got for if you've had a manuscript accepted for publication during the reporting period, we've got a mechanism to add it. I already just populated one here, but if you click add manuscript, which you might not have this early in the game, but anyway, there's just some fields to fill in, and then you will see it get displayed here. Again, there's the edit feature. Also, Tara mentioned in the slides, you report the number of times each of these approaches was used to communicate information and raise awareness. and you just provide the appropriate numbers in here. If there's a citation, it's similar to this mechanism there. You go ahead and click this and provide that. And then Tara had a slide also where she talked about how you report how many times you presented at conferences and the like. And then you go ahead and you save that, and you're good with that. Then you move into information that in these pages that are associated, just grantee pages, these are pages that just you as the grantee can see. Members of your implementing organization won't be able to see those pages. Here, though, for the implementing organization information, this is something that you as a grantee can see all of this, of course, but this is where your implementing organizations would go to provide data. And we'll know which person you request is associated with which program model and the like. But anyway, if you came to this page, down at the bottom, you know, yourself is always the first populated entry. But I had added, remember I already had ABC implementers populated, and I added DEF. So you can choose the view you want. Do you want to see what data has been provided by DEF? You choose this. ABC, you choose this. Let's go ahead and just do it for DEF. Okay. Shows you the implementer name there as well. And then just provide some basic information. So implementing in Alabama and in these settings. Program models. So some of these, some information hasn't carried all the way through. This is part of the refinement we're working on as we approach the 18th. But the idea is to show you the basic functionality. So anyway, but the point is that that organization, I believe we indicated we'd be doing these programs. In any event, it'll show the programs appropriate for the implementing organization. And then it's time to, you can access the sections for that program model for that implementer by clicking here on View Sections. Now, at this point, we haven't created any sections, so we just see this. So let's go ahead and do that. Let's create a section. So let's say it was Kennedy High School, period 4, let's say. To create it, we just go ahead and click here, and it's added. If we wanted to, if we said, oh, geez, that's not right, go ahead and just click on the edit icon. It opens back up. You can make any adjustments you want. Go ahead and hit save. We can create another one. Go ahead and add that, and there we go. So we'll start with two sections. And so now to get into the detail, so let's say View Sections Detail. Go ahead and click here, and we're brought to this page. This is another page we're working on, and we're going to get it to look nicer. But some important things about this. So the program comes over. The section that we had selected just comes over. And we've got the state, urbanicity, predominant setting. So for each section, remember, that's the group of people experiencing the curriculum at the same time. You just want to make sure that these selections are correct for the particular section in mind. So here, because we had indicated that this program, All for You, would be taking place for this implementer in more than one settings, here you want to pick the predominant settings. So let's say predominantly it was in high school, for instance. Okay, so enough about that for the moment. The choices come through. If you see that these aren't the right choices, then the right choice should be in the drop-down window. Make the right choice. So some information you need to provide, and in a moment we'll look at that spreadsheet that we think will help you a lot. So some overall items are total reach. So the number of people in this particular section that attended at least one session, experienced one activity, typically experienced one activity means you attended a session, so that attended at least one session. We've got average participant attendance. That's for the section. youth completing 75% or more of sessions, again, for the section, this is all section-based, right? Sessions planned, that comes from back in the beginning, we talked about the number of sessions you thought it would ideally take to implement the program. You would put that there, and the number of sessions you actually completed would go here. So talking about, you know, how reach, how many sessions attended, that deals with attendance. You're also over here, you need to report reach by gender. So here's the gender categories, and you report it there. Reach by race and ethnicity. So you've got the racial categories here, the ethnicity categories here, and then you can see reach by age and reach by grade. And we're going to have some validation in place as well. So let's say you said the total reach number was 20, for instance. Then the sum of what you put in here should add up to 20. And we do have an unknown box too, so you really should be able to get to 20. The same thing, there should be a sum of 20 here, and sum of 20 here, and sum of 20 here. So there's going to be some validation there. Dealing with observations, so this deals with the number of observations observed for this particular section. You enter that there, and then average observed adherence, so we'll, the spreadsheet will help us define that a little bit more. We already defined it earlier, but the spreadsheet will help. And for quality for observations, so the sessions observed, you'd indicate that there. And then here are the quality measures, sorry, the various quality measures, and you'd provide the average ratings for each of those. So, as I said, I think the spreadsheet will help you, so let's have a look at the spreadsheet. Okay. So this is a several tabbed spreadsheet, as you can see. There's a direction page. I mean, we won't go through every direction now, but one of the big things to do is we have here, please create one spreadsheet for each program section. So this spreadsheet is not the place where you universally put all your data. It's where you do it by section for attendance and observations. You report by section, so it makes sense that this spreadsheet is by section. One overarching thing I'll say about the spreadsheet as well, you don't have to use it if you don't want to. It's totally optional. We just wanted to provide it to you as a tool that might help you. Okay, so we've got an attendance part of the spreadsheet, so we'll take a look at this. Earlier on, Tara said that you do need to maintain individual attendance. You don't have to report that, but maintaining it you do. And so the spreadsheet allows you to do that and helps with calculations. So some things about it, so these were just some, you know, arbitrary numbers we put as examples. Of course, if you use the spreadsheet, you delete all this information before you got going. But for the columns, as you can see, we've got it, so we've got the choices there for you, and you just make a choice with each column. So there's gender choices, and then we have race and ethnicity choices. Same thing with age, same thing with grade, skip the gray for a minute, and even for sessions here, this is where a 1 here indicate with a 1 if the participant attended and a 0 if the participant did not attend. So there you go, you've got your choices of 0, 1 there. These columns are for the particular sessions, so I've got 5 sessions here, but that may not be the right number for you, so you just go ahead and you just, if you have the next session, you just go ahead and, you know, type it out. You can, whatever works for you, put a number in there, put a name in there, whatever it works, and just, you know, just keep adding as many sessions as it works for you as you go along. Now, I spoke to what's in gray. So in gray, we've got some formulas. You can't click on this, as I'm trying to do here, because it's just, you know, wouldn't make sense to allow accidentally the formulas to be adjusted or accidentally deleted and the like. But you can see what they do. So we have for this participant, the participant ended 4 out of 5 sessions, 80%, 4 out of 5, 80%, and we've got the 100% here. It really should work, so if we had a session 6 and we put a 0 in there, you see how the percentage drops down to 83. We'll just go ahead and put a 0 here and a 0 here. So we're down 60%. So that's how, and I'll just assume it was 5 sessions. So there we go with that. That helps. We'll revisit this in a second. Some overall things about the observation spreadsheet. So the observation spreadsheet, we've got a column for the observation date, a column for the name. You don't have to put the names in if you don't want, numbers, whatever works for you. These columns are the quality measures, and they're on a scale of 1 through 5. So for each particular observation, you'd go ahead and you'd make a selection. About 1 is poor, up to 5 is excellent. And then for adherence, so you'd put in the number of activities planned for that particular session, and then you'd put the number of activities completed for this session, and then the calculation is done automatically for you. So that can help you there. And then we go to the selected calculated measures tab. And that takes information that you entered on the previous tabs. And again, you can't click on any of these places where there's text because it's just formula based. And it tells you some overall numbers that can be of assistance to you. So if we go back to the website where you have to provide data, so you can see there's a nice matching here. We'll just look, there's total reach, average participant attendance, youth completing 75% or more of sessions. Aha, total reach, average attendance, 75% or more of sessions. So it does the work for you. Underneath that, it's going to ask for quality stuff. Here's the average of all the quality things, and here you go. You could just provide that information right there. Then when it gets a little bit more complicated, perhaps, reach, say, by gender and things. So this is where you go back to your attendance tab, and you can see we've got like a little filter feature here. So let's say we're interested in gender numbers. Go ahead and click on that. It shows you all the – it represents all the different items you've got already in that column. If you're, say, interested in just females, go ahead and click females, hit OK, and then it just shows you the females. And then it also shows you like 2 can, down here if you like as well. Now, it's really easy just to see it with the 4 entries that I've got here. But let's say you had 30 entries or so. This filter feature could be easy for you to use. So for females, we just go ahead and then populate a 2 in there and work like that. To get out of the filter, just click on it again. You see how it looks different than the others. So there's a filter then. Click there, clear filter, and you just proceed doing the same thing. So for race and ethnicity, get rid of the select all, choose the one that's of interest to you. So let's see, white, non-Hispanic, Latino. Hit OK. You can visually see it. It also tells you there, and you populate that in. So you can do the same thing for age, in grade and the like, and we think that will be of great help to you. So that's basically how the spreadsheet works. And then let's see if we move forward a little bit. We did that. And then for particular assistance, you already saw on the home page. We referenced this, the website for you to, well, not the website, the email address. You just click on this and you'll do your email. And then just some particular notes. So implementing organizations should consult grantees for questions about program implementation. And grantees should consult their project officers for questions about proxy measures and program implementation. And we're here to help you get your data into the system, provide some guidance on that. And we will be providing also a communication in the days to come about office hours, where we'll have a period of time where we'll just be here ready to, you know, have conversations with you and the like to answer any questions that you have. So, Tara, that's what I have for that section.
Thanks.
Sure.
Thank you, Matt.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking now at the Q&A box. Looks like there's a couple of other questions that have come up. One from Jennifer. Is the section form filled out for each individual section? If that is right, it looks like right now the observation reporting questions are required. How will we handle entering data for sections where there was no observation?
Okay. So there's no observations. So maybe, Amy, I was under the impression, Tara, that there would be each section should have at least one observation.
So I'm going to answer this and say that it may even depend on the program model. I think that most of the time that there should be at least one observation, but some of the program models that are really short, for example, I'm thinking about some of the clinic-based programs where there might not, you know, I'm thinking about something like 17 days where there's only like a single meeting, something like that. You might not do everything, you might not observe every single session and still get to your 10% overall for 10% of all of the 17 days groups that meet over the course of a reporting period.
Mm-hmm.
So in that instance, Matt, it seems to me like they would need to just enter in a zero if that was the case, that they weren't observing anything for that particular section. I will say and just reiterate what Matt said is that most of the time, most of your programs are long enough where you probably will have at least one observation for each section. But we do recognize that with some of the shorter term programs, you might not be observing once for every single group because the program is so short. And what you need to do is make sure that you're getting the 10% overall. So for a one dose program, you might, you know, 10% of all of those sessions might mean that you're not observing every single meeting that happens.
Okay.
Okay, and then Sally has a question. Could we see your formulas for the observation form and fidelity calculation? If we don't use the spreadsheet, we'll want to be sure we are calculating the same way.
I'm not sure you could. I mean, we certainly can provide, if we haven't provided already, we can provide what each metric is designed to measure. The tricky thing with the formulas is that they really are based on kind of the logistics of the spreadsheet. So we've got things in there. So if you put through, like, you know, 100 sessions to the right, or if there's two sessions or seven sessions, it's a one size fit all thing. So our particular formulas may not really be just right for the way you are tracking things, but we certainly can convey precisely what each metric means. So.
Okay. Thank you, Matt.
Sure.
Operator, at this time, can we open the lines up for questions?
Thank you. At this time, if we have anyone wishing to ask a question or make a comment, please press star followed by one on the keypad of your telephone, and please be sure that the telephone is unmuted and clearly record your name at the prompt so that your question may be introduced. Once again, if you're wishing to ask a question or make a comment, please press star followed by one on the keypad of your phone. One moment, please, for the first question. And our first question comes from Sally Brown.
Hi there. For our 1A that we're doing with PPGNHI, it's possible that there could be many different evidence-based programs that are selected by their implementing partners. does OAH have a approved set of fidelity forms for each evidence-based practice, or do we need to create those for each?
Yeah, so in terms of your fidelity forms, for several of these program models, the developer has fidelity monitoring forms or tools available, so you're certainly welcome to use those. And if you don't have those, then you would need to create, if they don't exist, then you would need to create them. In terms of, does OAH have specific fidelity monitoring forms for each program model? No, we do not. But like I said, several of these models do have fidelity monitoring forms.
Thank you.
Thank you. And at this time, I'm showing no further questions.
I see a couple of questions that have popped up on the Q&A box. So Julie asked the question, if we are still in the process of selecting programs with our implementing partners, what should we enter? Okay, so I would expect that for many of you in Tier 1A that you're still selecting program models. So if you're still selecting program models, you're not going to report data for those implementing partners at this time. Once your implementing partners have selected an evidence-based program or evidence-based programs that they are going to implement and they are actually starting to pilot and or implement that program, then that is when you would start reporting their section data and their evidence-based program model selection. Okay, and then I see a question from Tom. Regarding your response to Sally, does this mean that if sessions are added, they are already accounted for in the formulas that you have created? Okay, so earlier Sally's question was about the formulas in the observation form. So,
yes, so I hope this answers the question, but sessions that you have here, the formula knows how many there were. So, you know, for instance, here for average adherence or session fidelity, we can see you've got 90 and 87.5 there, so it's got the 88.8 there. But let's say, hypothetically, which could be the case for a lot of you, that for a given section you only have one observation. You see how that disappears, and then you've got 90, and that's also going to appear changed to 90 down here. So the formulas do know how many sessions are present as well.
Great. Okay, let me see. Okay, so I see another question from Joy. For site observations, can't read the rest of it, are we supposed to observe implementation partners per section or per implementation partner? That is 10% of each section or 10% of sessions offered for each partner? So this is a good question. Our guidance is 10% of all sessions. For Tier 1As, and I would really say that since you're capacity building grantees and the whole objective of your grant is to provide capacity building assistance to your implementing partners who are picked because they're in, they are new to providing evidence-based programming, that optimally it would be 10% for each partner. You'd want to spread your 10% out across your partners, because, you know, for Tier 1 and for Tier 1As in particular, you're, you know, the goal of doing these observations is to provide continuous quality improvement to your sites, and in particular, you know, for your case, that is to your subawardees that you're providing capacity building assistance to. Okay. And so then next question from Esmeralda. For the example you just gave about observing for a program such as 17 days, if we enter zero for quality, how will you know that that is not a score of zero, but rather that the observation was not done?
Okay. So I can answer that. So that's a very, very good point. I would say that, making notes, of course, about these good questions. So if we go back to the website here, so we really would not want you to put zero for, I mean, it's okay if you didn't here is an overall question about sessions. So if you didn't observe any sessions, I mean, a zero is perfectly appropriate. It would also probably, if you didn't do it for fidelity, you didn't do it for quality. And I think what happens in reality is that the data that you supply, you'll get a warning message if you don't supply what's an asterisk, but what you do supply will save. So that I do think when it comes to average rating across sessions, if you indicate, if you didn't have any sessions, I think it's okay to go ahead and put zeros there, because we won't do a calculation when there's already, you know, zero sessions. But it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world if you didn't provide anything there and you hit save. You'll get warning messages, but what you do provide will save. Okay. So here we go, back to the questions. So I can check that one, I guess. Did we see this one already? Yeah, right. How about this one?
No, we haven't answered that one yet.
Okay.
So this is a question from Lynn.
And Lynn asks, are one-to-one interventions or one-time interventions such as 17 days or families talking together counted as a section for each single
session?
Okay. Will the quality measure or observation be affected by entering zero on 90% of sessions? Okay. So the answer is that, yes, for one-on-one interventions, such as most of our clinic-based interventions, in the past we have found it easiest for grantees to count the section for each individual. And so that is the way that we would recommend that you handle that. Each individual for the one-on-one intervention is a section. And the second question about quality or observation be affected by entering zero on the majority of the sessions, I believe that Matt just answered that. So, no, it would not be.
Mm-hmm. I want to make sure I don't skip. So we did this one, right? Yeah, we already got this one, right? Yep. Okay. So, Sally?
When determining how many activities are completed, does that include completed as written or completed with changes? So when you determine how many activities are completed for us, that's how many activities are completed. So it's how many were you planned to do and how many you actually did. So for this, for the purposes of what we're asking you to report to us, we're not really tracking whether what you did was an adaptation or not. We're tracking planned and completed activities. Now, there are, of course, other places where you should be tracking your adaptations, and, of course, talking to your project officer about what adaptations you're proposing and get approval for those adaptations through that separate mechanism that we discussed at the Tier 1 orientation meeting in advance of your implementation. But what we're actually asking you to track and report to us for the purposes of performance measures is how many activities you plan to do and how many activities you completed out of what you plan to do. Okay, next question. How do we observe a one-on-one intervention? Is the expectation for someone to be in the room with the, I believe that would be participant and the clinician? Okay, so different grantees have handled this in different ways in the past in terms of how to observe a one-on-one intervention. If you can have somebody in the room, then that's ideal. But, you know, certainly if you can't do that, there are other ways that you could do observations. Some grantees have the two-way mirrors and do observations that way. Some grantees have videotaped sessions, gotten permission to videotape the sessions and do the observations that way. So there are other ways that you can do an observation. So we do ask that you explore the possibility of doing an intervention, of doing an observation in one of those alternative ways first. And if none of those ways are going to be feasible, then talk to your project officer about, you know, what you could do instead to get at the fidelity and the quality, because there is the expectation that we're going to be tracking fidelity and quality for all of the TPP-funded grantees. Okay, I do not see any other questions in the Q&A box. Emily, do we have any other questions on the line?
At this time, I'm showing no questions.
Okay, well, I'd like to thank everybody for participating on this webinar. And if you have any additional questions, please note the help desk email that was mentioned above, and that RTI will be holding some office hours next week to take specific questions. You can also email me if you have questions about the way any of the measures are worded. My email address is tara.rice@hhs.gov, or you can ask your project officer to link me to you, and they will be happy to do so. Thank you so much for participating, and have a great rest of your day. Thank you.
This does conclude today's conference. Thank you so much for joining. You may disconnect at this time.